My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
I mean, if you look at free agency or through the draft, we're always trying to improve our roster. Now, in saying that, we had, you know, a lot of holes on the roster that we felt coming out of the draft that we addressed. Now, in free agency, we still felt like we signed the best offensive lineman in Mike Onwenu, and then re-signing some of our own players, which was definitely part of it. Now, once again, look, this isn't a one-year thing in my mind. It's going to take time to continue to build out the roster. And that's how it is.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arkin and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Mr. Rod Mayo yesterday with the Greg Hill Show talking about the roster, talking about the rebuild, and I'll tell you this. I didn't love hearing that the rebuild's going to take many, many years. I think we know that, but hearing the head coach say it just sort of seems like, forget this season, you know, forget about this year, maybe even forget about next year. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. My big, and I don't want to say complaint because it's not really a Drake May complaint, but the one thing that kept me from going, you know, 10 toes into the Drake May bandwagon was the fact that I don't like this roster. I don't like that the people in charge thought this roster would be an acceptable one to put around a rookie quarterback, and I don't necessarily trust them going forward, assuming that it's them making the decisions next year. We'll see, I guess. But I don't trust them going forward to do the right thing and to surround this quarterback and this team with the proper players. Now, we have decided, Andy and I, we've been talking about this exercise for about a week now, I'd say.
It's caller-driven. It was an idea of a caller.
I think it was, yes. I forget who it was.
We give you credit, caller.
Whoever you are. Thank you, caller. And it was to basically go down the roster and let's talk about what we have. Because I feel like Mayo said that a lot. We've heard Patriots apologists this season say, no, this season's not about winning. It's about seeing what you have on the roster and then making decisions for next year and blah, 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 blah. So let's get a jump on that, okay?
Okay.
Let's get a jump on seeing what we have on this roster so far. It's been 6 weeks of the season, which is, you know, a little more than a third, I guess, or right around a third of the way through the year. Let's go down this roster and see who is worth keeping, who you consider to be above average, and who is a building block for the future here in terms of their youth, contract status, et cetera. We'll start with the defense, and we'll go with the backups on defense before we get to the starters. So let's go ahead and start with their latest phenomenon on the defensive line. Jaquelin Roy, who had a sack yesterday, his second sack of the year. I've never seen this man before in my life. I didn't know he was on the team. I haven't been going to practice, Andy, so I'm not sure about some of these fringe guys, but this guy isn't a fringe guy anymore. He's one of your best defensive linemen. Jaquelin Roy, who is, by the way, 23 years old, in case you were wondering. And this is his second year in the NFL. He was with the Vikings last year, played in 12 games. Jaquelin Roy, is he a building block for the future?
He is not a building block for the future.
Okay.
He is, what do I need to tell you, average?
Yeah, is he above or below average, or is if you want
he
to say
he feels average right now. I mean, based on the short sampling and me realizing he existed and was on the team and did things for the team,
yep.
I'm going to give him average, and I'm going to say he's not a building block for the future.
Okay, how about Jeremiah Farms?
Not a building block for the future.
Okay.
Average at best player.
All right, I don't know anything. I couldn't tell you if he's average or not, so I'll just say not a building block. How about Josh Uche?
I mean, I guess I get to give a guy who had a 11-sack season average, but he's not part of the future.
2 years ago, so
but he's done it. Like, I mean, I got to give you credit for the year you had. But he has not stepped up to the challenge of Judon being gone. Judon, remember that? That whole talking point was Judon's gone. It's going to open up opportunities for Keon White and Josh mm-hmm. Uche and Anthony Jennings. I don't feel like anybody has taken hold of that and utilized it. So, no, he is not part of the future.
Uche did sign a contract, though. So, I mean,
one-year deal.
It's just a one-year deal?
Yeah, I believe.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
remember, he was
right.
Like, I left so much money on the table, I could have gotten so much more elsewhere.
Okay, dude.
You're full of crap.
Right.
From who?
Yes, it was a one-year deal. 1 year, $3 million. Okay, so Uche, not part of the future. How about Raekwon McMillan?
Kind of too old and banged up to be part of the future. Average NFL player, but I don't think he's a building block for the future. No.
Okay. How about Christian Ellis with two S's?
Yes, a part of the future. He's coming on. I think he is going to be a rotational backup linebacker for years to come because he's one of those guys. He's not going to ever make any money. He's not ever... You need to fill out a roster with people like
okay, so
like
he's
that.
He's an end-of-the-bench type of guy, but you think
oh,
he
yeah.
has a, you think
he's
he
going to stay
spot.
In the backup role.
Okay. How about Marco Wilson?
No, he's not a building block.
Marte Mapu.
Not a building. Am I being harsh on that? Because I don't feel like he's a building block.
Well, I thought he had a couple of plays in that game on okay. Sunday, but building block, I'd probably say no.
Not a building block.
Del Pettis.
Not a building block.
Not a building block. Isaiah Bolden.
Not a building block.
Marcellus Dial.
Not a building block.
Brendan Schooler.
Building block on
building
special
block!
Teams.
Yeah!
Let's go.
Brendan Schooler. Special teams building block. I'd agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right, defensive starters. Keon White.
I'm going to say building block, but boy, did he come out hot and bothered and then really fizzle out
yeah.
over the last four games.
He's so, part of the future, though.
He's part,
he's
of, the
be part of the future.
For better or worse, you may yeah. realize he's not as good as you thought or hoped he would be, but he's part of the future. Yes, building
okay.
block.
Dietrich Wise.
Too old to be a building block, right? He's like the new Lawrence guy. Like, he's a
kinda,
nice player,
yeah.
and he's going to peter out here in the next couple of years, I would think.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you on that. I like Dietrich Wise. I thought there was a chance that the same year that Uche had the 11 saves, I thought Dietrich Wise was kind of having a breakout year, and then that all kind of fell apart last season, and he's mostly a backup. I don't think he's been starting much this year, so, you know, take that how you want.
I probably should have asked this before I answered, like, 12 players deep.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, just so you know, the barometer I was using, like, 3 years from now, or two seasons from now, the 2026 season.
Will he be on the team?
Will he be on the team?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
25, 26, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because next year you could be here, whatever, but if I think Dietrich Wise probably not going to be here in 26.
Okay, how about Devon Godshaw?
Probably not going to be here in 26. You know why?
Probably
he
not.
Knew that. That's why he put his foot down this offseason to get a little money guarantee.
Right. Daniel Akwale.
Nope.
Anthony Jennings.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You consider him a building block or just someone who's going to be on the roster?
I think he will be a top 14 defensive player.
Okay. Top 14 defensive player.
So like
player.
Three
okay,
backup rotation, something like that.
All right, backup. Sione Takitaki.
I got no idea what the hell he is. He
all
just
right.
got here.
We'll maybe put an incomplete there. How about Jelani Tavai?
My three-year rule, yes.
Yes, you think he will be?
Yeah, you can get a few more years out of him.
Jonathan Jones, our good friend of the program, Jonathan Jones.
No, aging out.
All right, an ex on Jonathan Jones, Kyle Duggar.
Yes.
Yes, I
better
agree.
Be. You just paid him.
That's true. Jalen Hawkins.
No.
No, Christian Gonzalez. Yes.
Absolutely, yes, with capital Y, E, and S.
I think everybody agrees with that. Marcus Jones.
No.
No, okay. I like him as a returner. I thought he had a couple of good returns.
Oh, yeah.
in that game.
If you want him as a returner, I'll say check mark.
Okay, so
but I'm not sure he's a top. He's not a top three defense cornerback in my opinion.
No, I think he's a decent third corner. I mean,
I don't think he is.
You don't think he's even decent?
No, I think he's a fourth
Tank,
or fifth
Tank
corner.
Dell dismantled him last week. Yeah. That's true. Fourth and on IR right now we have Juwan Bentley. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes on Juwan Bentley and Christian Barmore.
Yes.
I'd like to say yes, but I don't know about that condition.
Oh, yeah, he's going
to
be fine. I like the tone that's trended in the positive direction between Mayo, social media. I'm feeling good about that. How many yeses did I get?
Okay. The yeses from the Andy Hart list, and I largely agree with most of them. A couple that I might change the nose, but the yeses are Christian Ellis.
Christian Ellis is the first name.
Brendan Schooler.
Special teams.
Keon White.
Okay.
Anthony Jennings. Jelani Tavai, Kyle Duggar, Christian Gonzalez, Juwan Bentley, and Christian Barmore. And I'm keeping Jones out of it because we're not doing special teams. Although, okay. I guess if we're not doing special teams, I've got to cross out Schooler.
Can't count Schooler then.
All right,
either.
Fine. So I'll say, yeah, I'll give Jones a yes, too. So here it is. Building blocks for the defense going forward. Ellis, Schooler, Jennings, White, Duggar, Gonzalez, Jones, Bentley, Barmore. I'd say no on Bentley. I take Bentley
off. He's going to age out.
I think he's going to age out, and I think that this injury is not a good thing for someone like him. I'd say Tavai, and they probably go out and do something else at linebacker. I think by 2026, if I had to guess, that's no disrespect to Bentley because I like him. I think he's a good player. I'm just sort of thinking ahead here, and I'm not sure that that's the standing. I think you can do better than him. I guess.
Well, and I would also say, and both the text line and the Twitch chat getting involved in this. Like, building block, question mark, says the 413. Can't even name what these guys do and what position they play. If you're really going to ask me the building blocks of this defense, and you removed Bentley, which I kind of agree with, it's Barmore, it's Gonzalez, and it's Duggar. I don't know that there are any other true building blocks. Now, I was giving you credit for guys that are going to be a part of the three-year plan, a part of the future, have a long-term future on the defensive side of the ball. But if you're going to say actual building blocks, like guys you're going to build a defense around, that's just Barmore, Duggar, and Gonzalez. And I'm not willing to say it about anybody else.
I'd throw White in there too, but I think that's probably it. I just think that that's what they're going to That's who they are.
You want to keep giving up big runs when he gets squished down and the guy just runs right by him easily?
I think he can improve. Barmore's first year wasn't very good.
How about when he chases the quarterback and he decides, I'm going to do what I want. And you can call it freelancing or selfish, whatever you want. And he's going to run by me, but I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Okay, so your list of guys who will be on the roster, if we cut it down to just the building blocks, you're going with Barmore, Gonzalez, Duggar, and that's it.
Yep, that's just for me. You have three building blocks.
Three building blocks on the defense. Not a Pro Bowl among them, I don't think, right? I mean, none of those guys have been. I mean, Gonzalez might have been last year if he had played the whole year, but not yet for Barmore.
Not given iffy Pro Bowls.
Not yet
There's
for
no
Duggar.
Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, no if Pro Bowls.
So, yeah, that's your building blocks right now are three pretty good young players who are not elite, but they're
Duggar,
someone
not
that you're going to build
as young
around.
As you'd like him to be. Probably.
That's true. Duggar's like 27, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, he's 4 years into the league. So that's really called the prime of your career. As a defense.
So how are we feeling about the future of the defense overall?
Not great.
Not great, right?
Not great.
Yeah.
You just made me feel worse. I was feeling good this week. It's May Day Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the great Drake May era, and you just told me there's nobody on defense moving forward, not to mention.
You told me that.
Not to mention, I don't know how I feel about the coaching going forward between Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington.
It's fair.
There are some. I had somebody text me last night. I'll leave their name out of this. Not a team personnel person, more of a media person, who was like...
Perillo.
Maybe. but, like, is DeMarcus Covington a sure thing moving forward? Like, is he a building block of the coaching staff? Has he done a good job? Has he handled himself well?
I would say no.
We work better as a... Anybody? Anybody know the word I usually use?
When I say we work better as, you say unit.
Work. Unit. Work. Unit.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's argument to be made that the defense has gotten certainly a lot worse under the Mayo-Covington watch. I think that's
very clear. We should really do this throughout the organization. Because I was just thinking.
The coaching staff, too? Yeah, sure.
And the front office staff and ownership.
Well, there's only one guy in the front office staff I can even name, so it's like...
What? Grow. No, you know Grow.
Oh, Grow, that's true. All right, Wolf and Grow.
Wolf and Grow.
Building blocks? No and no. How about that? That's in my opinion.
We're really putting X's through a lot of
people. This is what we're doing right now. This is why I wasn't all that. I couldn't get all that excited about Drake May because of this, roster, because of the future. I don't feel like there's a great future here. And we're going to do the offense tomorrow. It's probably going to be worse than this.
But who, like, for example, I'm not going to pretend to intimately know the Bills roster, But how many future building blocks do they have? I know they have Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. And as long as they have Josh Allen, most people are going to assume they're going to be a pretty good football team, right?
Yep.
And that's what you want to have with Drake May. That's my argument. My counter-argument to you questioning the roster, which is all valid. We just proved it. This was an experiment from a listener to prove that there are questionable building blocks around this team. But if Drake May is who we want him to be and hope he is and some of us think he is, then the rest of it is just details.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
Who are the building blocks of the Bills? The freaking Dalton Kincaid?
Deion Dawkins. I mean, that rookie they drafted I kind of like from Florida
Keon
State.
Keon Coleman?
Coleman, yes. I like him.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah, I like Coleman.
No, I know you like him. You sure he's a building block?
I think he's going to be, yeah.
Okay. He might be. I mean, some of these guys might be. Robinson might be a building block. He might be the next great thing at guard.
And yeah, I'd say Dalton Kincaid's definitely a building block.
Well, he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
We'll see if he is.
And, you know, the defense, who's the guy they signed from the Eagles? At corner, Roswell Douglas.
Sure.
He's still in his 20s. Like, that's a guy who's probably going to be there in a few years. Daquan Jones. Russo, I don't know how old these guys are, but I'd imagine they're still going to be there. Like, the Bills are, they're not rebuilding. That's the difference. Like, the Bills aren't a rebuilding team. You are.
No, but so, you can do it with any team. Look at a three-year plan. Like the Jets. If you did the three-year, I used 3 years. I just picked a number.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do 3 years against the Jets, quarterback, no. Wide receiver, no.
Right.
Right? Like, right off the bat, those two. Hassan Reddick, he's never been there, so I'm going to put him a no.
Probably not.
Head coach, no, because they don't have a head coach, so I don't know if the head coach is, you know, like, you can do this with good and bad teams as you're assessing kind of where they're going over this next window of time. And I think it's actually an interesting kind of exercise.
Yeah.
If you want to take a bigger, probably more for the offseason, quite honestly. But, you know, it was brought up by a listener.
So offseason basically started, I'd say. So, yeah.
Well, the reality is we're paying attention to the draft, the draft pick, the tackles, the wide receivers, where what you need, what you thought you got last year, what you didn't actually get last year, what you have to revisit, right? Like, you thought, a lot of people thought you got a wide receiver. There were people that were legit excited in August about Jalen Polk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anyone excited about Jalen Polk right now.
Nope.
Anyone.
I don't think so. Certainly not Drake May after he dropped three passes in that game yesterday. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we asked Ross Tucker this question. Does the NFL have a referee problem? Aaron Rodgers and a lot of other people all think so. I know Andy Hart does. Here's Brian Frazoka.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
But with what's trending.
Now, more of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
I'm not sure on what their structure of reviews and fines or how that, you know, how we have fines and things like that as players. So, you know, I'm not sure how that is deemed, like how they go about getting controlled or monitored. I'm not sure who, you know, who's in control of that. I'm pretty sure something within the league. But, you know, as players, we just have to go out there and play. You know, we're not in control of their portion of the game. You know, what they, you know, have to do is three people who show up, you know, every Sunday who dictate the game. That's players, coaches, and the, you know, officials. And so all three of us have to, you know, do our jobs to the best of our ability.
That was friend of the show, Jonathan Jones, on the show yesterday during Patriots Monday at Gillette Stadium. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart here with you until 6 o'clock. There's a referee problem in the NFL this year. Tucker was hesitant to go there. He says everybody says the same thing every year. And I do agree, every year people bitch about the referees.
Mm-hmm.
This year, though, I'm watching games that the Patriots aren't playing, and the Patriots aren't really relevant to this. Like, in the past, you'd say, oh, the refs are screwing the Patriots, right? Like, that's... And I do think that there were a couple of calls. That non-face mask on Gibson, when he walked back to the huddle and his helmet was on backwards, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. The fact that no one, there was a ref looking right at it, the fact that no one called that was a joke. And I don't know, I mean, with, and this is just me sort of spitballing here, but with gambling now being legalized and the spotlight being on the ends of these games and the total and the point spread and all this other stuff, when you have such bad officiating, it just opens the door for people to say, hey, what's going on here? It does. And I don't think that that's necessarily happening, me personally, but I can see why just the level of NFL officiating is in the toilet right now. And that game last night, that was ridiculous. That was a ridiculous game. 22 flags in that game? What are we doing? And it started early on. It started in the preseason. Remember Hockley?
Oh, yeah.
Throwing a million flags for that false start and the illegal formation thing? I mean, that was it was like they telegraphed. It was like they were telling us all, hey, just so you know, the refs are going to be insufferable this year, and they have been.
So I think they just stink. I don't think there's any, you know, gambling or fixing games or biases from the league office against certain teams that I've heard over the years. I don't believe any of that to be true. I think they struggle to find enough people capable of doing it at all levels, really. Mm-hmm. I watch college football stinks. High school football stinks. Youth football stinks. I watch it all. I end up bitching about the officials at every level of football I watch.
Yep.
Now, to answer Jonathan Jones' thing, they are graded and they are like postseason awarded jobs or whatever, slots are filled by the higher graded crews and all that. And I do want to say, I think it's a hard job. There's freaking 22 guys flying around out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes on. And what I think that makes it harder is the way, and Ross Tucker got a little bit into this, the way they are advised or managed by their bosses and the league,
right,
and what they want and what they want called and not called and a point of emphasis this year. And then, oh, wait, you emphasized it a little too much. We didn't really mean to emphasize it that much. Pull back on this. Watch this. And then you add in the stupid layer of player safety. You have a real problem. And I understand the logic behind the quarterback protection. They're the stars.
Yep.
No one wants to see backup quarterbacks.
They're standing still while everyone's running at them.
Right.
For the most part, yes.
But when you have one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time, who's 40 years old, mocking the calls that he's getting, I feel like you have a problem.
Yeah.
It's one thing if, you know, Matt Judon is mocking the calls. Or Ray, remember Ray Lewis went on that rant about Brady? I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like him.
Yep.
And he went that. But when the quarterback himself is mocking what's going on, we've gone too far. We've lost our way. And I think they've lost their way on a lot of things. I agree with Ross. When in doubt, don't throw it. No one's ever going to, I mean, they are, because Patriots fans are bitchy and do it all the time and get, mm-hmm, the little still photo of, you tell me this wasn't a hold here?
Right.
But for the most part, big picture, the general public just wants the flow of the game to keep going. They don't need every hold. They don't need every illegal contact on the backside that gives a first down on what seemed like a well-played down.
Mm-hmm.
So when in doubt, if it's not egregious, don't throw it. You're ruining the game. Because every game, you know who's a big bitcher about this? Our buddy Mike Giardi.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like on Twitter, every game he watches, and he watches call, he's always bitching about the flags. Because they're annoying. No, I know it's a cliche, but no one goes to see the guys with stripes. No one goes to see how well the game is officiated. They want to see plays and hits and action. And it's taking away from the entertainment product.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that in some level, as you said, and there's lots of other things. Taunting became a thing that gets penalized now. There's
yeah,
all
like Diggs.
New...
That was a bad call on Diggs.
Yeah.
When he spun the ball.
And he stared
Gonzo,
at Gonzalez. Yeah.
Gonzo was looking the other way. How can I taunt you if you don't know I'm taunting you?
Yeah.
Right? It just
maybe
didn't happen.
Maybe he said something. I don't know. Maybe he said something.
It was a bad call.
No idea. I thought it was stupid,
Let
too.
Him play.
And those, I mean, it's not like he wiped away the touchdown. It was just they had to kick off from further back or whatever. But, like, I agree with you. I mean, I think that in general, though, when you keep adding penalties to the ledger, right, this is a penalty now. This is a penalty. That's a penalty. We're changing it now so that this is a penalty. Like, all these things have been added to become more
right.
penalties. So when that happens, there's going to be more flags.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And certainly the place where you see that most is quarterback, because it's easiest to see.
Yep.
The guy hits him below the thigh. Oh, we got to rough in the quarterback call because you hit him below the thigh. Oh, you hit him too high. Oh, you hit him too late. Oh, you landed on him? Wait, you allowed gravity to do what it do and pull you down on him?
Yeah.
That's a flag. And some of it is definitely driven by the star power. And then this fake, I guess I shouldn't say fake, this mixed message of player safety. Football is inherently dangerous and violent, and you're never going to protect from heads colliding because guess what? They have helmets on, and if their shoulders are going to lead, then their head is coming with it because where is their head? It's attached to their shoulder. It's just it's an impossibility to legislate it out of the game. I feel like they're trying to legislate too much out of the game, and it's hurting the game. But who am I? Because every time I read these stupid things, I get ratings are up 1%.
Yep.
Ratings are up here. So we bitch about the quality of play. We bitch about the officiating, and we watch more than we've ever watched.
True.
Okay, so
it's not going to get us to stop watching.
What are they doing wrong, then?
It's just going to make us complain about what we're seeing.
Right, I mean, and then really they probably like that, because any publicity is good publicity.
You're talking about it.
We could be talking Bruins. We could be talking Celtics. We could be bitching about the Red Sox. But we're talking about the NFL and their flags and their officiating and what happened on Monday Night Football last night. So who's winning?
They are.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was very vocal about the refereeing, and he'll probably get fined for this, but he had this to say after the game.
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. Might as well play Sarcastaball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Do you know what Sarcastaball is?
No, I was actually just going to look it up.
Sarcastaball anthem, recording artist CeeLo.
I love Sarcastaball.
The South Park episode.
It's so nice. Much better than football. I'm so glad they got rid of violence in sports. Cause Sarcastaball is so super fun to watch.
Woo, nice
All right,
job,
very good.
CeeLo.
Thank you very much. Sarcastaball was a South Park episode. It was years ago, and it was basically they were trying to get all the violence and hitting out of football, and so they changed football with all everybody being sarcastic. Oh, why don't we just put them in dresses and wear bras and have them hug each other and knock a balloon around? And then they changed football into that, and that became football. And CeeLo came out and sang the Sarcastaball national anthem, and that became the new big sport that took over the world.
So, ahead of its time.
It was a good episode, and it was a funny one.
It's a good pull by Rodgers.
It was a good pull by Rodgers, who I generally don't like to give credit to, but in that case, not bad. All right, let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937. Phil is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Phil.
Hello, guys. I have two quick things. One is, if it doesn't affect the play itself, don't throw the flag unless it's, you know, really egregious stuff. But generally, if it's not affecting the play, it's a holding on the other side of the field, and it doesn't affect the play, let the game go. It's so annoying to watch these things happen. And then secondly, do you feel like football is doing what baseball did with the steroids to themselves, where they're just like over-legislating it to the point where you're taking something that could be, you know, just let things go? Like, the reality is these guys pay millions of dollars to play a game that is inherently going to cause a concussion now and then. You know, and if they keep like doing this and going where they're going, they're really affecting the game, and it's shining a light on stuff, and it's getting all the people that the Sarcastaball people, basically, to start having more and more of a voice, and it's kind of like over-legislating things into turning this game into something that it shouldn't be.
I don't know, Phil. I mean, a guy died on the field 2 years ago, and they're still hitting. I mean, it's not, you know what I mean? Like that, if anything was going to really change, it would be after DeMar Hamlin almost died on the field.
Well, the first change was the lawsuits. It's like anything else.
And that's the other thing. They paid $600 billion, whatever it was, $600 million, not $600 billion, $600 million to all those old players from all the head injuries and concussions and stuff like that. So that hit him in the wallet, and that was significant. I mean, even for the NFL, that was a lot of money. And I think that that's the reason why they decided to go full bore in the other direction. They don't care. The NFL doesn't have a conscience about this stuff. They just don't want to get sued down the road. That's really what it's about.
That's why they avoided CTE and concussions forever and then had to pay the piper and kind of, like everything else, overreact in the other direction and try to pretend the sport is safe and all these things. It's why I firmly believe they are putting out the test weather balloon for flag football, because it'll change their business model. But if they can find a way to lower injuries and make as much money and still get people to watch, they've done it with the Pro Bowl. They're doing it with the Olympics. They're trying to see if you like watching Tyreek Hill run fast and catch the ball as much without a helmet and pads on as you do with a helmet and pads on. And if you do, and if the ratings will stay as high, they'll probably do it. And I think they're going in that direction. But I actually like the caller's point. I've always hated those holding on the backside. And I guess, you know, who's the official to decide what does and doesn't affect a play? Like, yeah, there's some obvious ones, but then when there's a gray area, what do you do? But it is so infuriating when you're like, yeah, that guy wasn't going to make the tackle anyway. That was well behind the play, and you just ruined a highlight play for Saquon Barkley, one of the biggest stars. Because that's the other thing. When we pick and choose which stars
we protect
and, like, who we like, I don't really like that hierarchy idea. It's kind of what I argued against with Jacoby Brissett. Oh, it's okay to throw him out there behind a crappy offensive line and get the snot kicked out of him.
Right.
But can't do it with Drake May. He's a human being.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think that in general, you know, when you break it down to that part of it, it's no one's going and playing football with a gun to their head. Like, people are playing because they know that they want to and that they're trying to make a lot of money and all of that. Contracts aren't always guaranteed, and there's a texter saying just guarantee all the contracts and take away, you know, all these rules and restrictions and then see what happens. And even then, I think that in general, the viewing public is going to have a problem with more and more serious injuries, big players getting knocked out of the game and having their careers cut short. Like, that's not good for the game when that happens. So I do think that there's a financial incentive to try and make it safer, too. It's not just about being soft or, you know, not wanting to whatever, you know, Sarcastaball, any of that stuff. I think it has more to do with, okay, we have guys here who are marketable. We have guys that we want to see on the field. And when they get knocked out or, you know, bad things happen to them, it turns people off.
Well, yes.
And I do think there's a case of that.
That's the fine line we all walk. We all love the violence.
Right.
We all love that it's a barbaric sport and it's sort of at our roots and it's mano a mano and physicality. And then we hate the injuries. It's like boxing. Or any of those sports. Yep. We love watching it until we see the documentary about a guy who has trouble speaking at the age of 55.
Or at the age of like 26.
And then you feel guilty, right? Like, and you feel bad that you said, that was the greatest fight I've ever seen. He took 27 punches and never went down. And you're like, well, his brain was taking the punches. You know, Wes Welker, I've always said, I felt guilty watching Welker and Edelman. There was a certain guilt level in the absolute ass-kicking those guys took.
Yep.
And we put it on like display, like it's glorified, even though it should be horrified in some ways.
Yeah.
Look what I just did there. I'm a wordsmith.
That was pretty good.
I used to write columns for a website. I have a
Thoreau over here.
I'm going to guess this is a referee. 401. Rather than bitching about the flag, tell dumbass not to hold.
Yeah, you can call holding on every play. I don't know if you ever heard that before.
Right. They could, because they don't know what holding is. They never know what's holding, because you're allowed to grab, but your hands can't get outside of here. And yes, to the other guy who said, I thought Hart was studying to be an official. I was actually studying to be official. And I passed the test and passed the course, and I was supposed to start, and then I started this job.
Oh, well.
And this job is not conducive to doing high school football games at 7 o'clock at night.
I would imagine it probably isn't. What's that test like? What do you have to score on it to pass?
I don't remember what you had to score. It was 50 questions, but it was open book.
It was open book.
You had the rule book with you, and you had to, like, but some of them were very... You would, you know those tests where it's because it's open book, you read option A and option B, and you're like, those seem like the same? What's the difference? And you struggle
with
the wording and the details.
And because a lot of it is like minutia, order of operations. If two penalties happen, which goes first, which wipes out the other, which doesn't wipe out the other.
I kind of want to take this test.
You got to take the class first.
I don't think I
went
to 8 weeks. I don't need the class. I think I just take the test.
No.
I think I can do it.
Next week we should have a test off Arcan versus Hart.
Yeah. I mean, he took the class and studied and everything, but I think I could pass.
I might be able to give you the test.
Really?
I might have an unanswered version. I'll look.
Okay. See if you do.
I might be able to print out the raw version of just the 50 questions.
All right. I'd be into that. I don't know if you have the answers, too, but yeah, I'd try.
Well, I have the answers because I got almost all of them right because I'm a genius.
I wanted to do the Wonderlic test.
I did that, too.
You took the Wonderlic test?
I did really well on that. I'm
really?
Smart. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Genius. That was another thing. They screwed up in the Hernandez doc.
Higher than Aaron Hernandez, basically, is all.
No, they screwed that up in the documentary. The Wonderlic test is like the SATs. It's an intelligence test.
Oh.
It's not what they pretended it was in the Hernandez.
Oh, yeah. They made it sound like it was one of those like a personality test
or
something. Yeah.
They have those, too. Mm-hmm. But Wonderlic is like straight SAT type stuff. It's 50 questions. You don't have much time. You got to fly through, and you're trying to get as high a number as possible based on like SAT type knowledge.
I'll probably do better on the ref test if we're being honest here. What were you going to say, Stiz?
You guys kind of got off it, but I recently, just in the past few weeks, went down a rabbit hole at like 2 a.m. of punch drunk boxers. I wasn't aware of like the amount of boxers. I felt horrible.
It's awful.
Horrible. I had no idea about some of these stories of these poor
guys. It's similar in football. Now, it's gotten a little bit better, I feel like, with the medical care being better, the game changing, but you used to be able to kind of look at a guy and be like, did you play football? Like the way they limped and walked. And I mean, Fred Smirlus. I sat behind him once when he put his arms over his elbows look like knees. They're so swollen and messed up, and they have so many scars from surgeries.
Yeah.
Like that era of football, especially defensive linemen, nose tackles, certain guys that got the snot kicked out of them. I mean, it took a toll on those guys' lives and their families and their futures. And it's a different game now, but it's the same game. You can only legislate out so much.
Agreed. And I do think they should try and make it safer. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, eventually.
To what end? Like how much?
What's the end of it? Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Where do you go? Because the safest way is to take out contact.
Probably, yeah.
Right? Like that's flag football. Mm-hmm. That is just 7-on-7 camps like the kids do all summer, right? And do you want to go that far? Will people still watch it? I'd say not as much.
I don't think anyone's going to watch
it. People love the hitting. Yeah. They still love the hitting. They still love watching a guy run over another guy.
Yep.
Or watching a guy tackle another guy and you're like, ooh, like that noise. There was a reason Jacked Up was popular.
Yeah.
And all those highlight football follies, like big hits of every year, were so popular until the NFL was like, ixnay on those. We're not
on
we're
the
in
act
court.
Up, Jay.
We are in court right now for hundreds of billions of dollars.
That's true. Let's go to Paulie and Denham here before the break. Go ahead, Paulie.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey,
you know, Arkin, you're a pretty steady hand. You know, always been, you know, pretty high up on my list. But I'm going to tell you something, Andy Hart. You have grown on me, my friend. You laid that down on the way the game is. These new legislative rules and what have you, and that you can hit the quarterback. You can't hit him. You may hit him too low. You hit him too high. You laid that out perfectly. And let me tell you something, Andy. You have come into your own so well over the last couple of years.
Good call.
But you're never wrong.
Come on.
This is a great
plant.
No, never wrong.
You're never wrong.
Oh, wait a minute. No. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Paulie used to hate me. He used to scream at me, and I would scream back. That is not a plant call. That is a great call.
Yeah.
And you people should be ashamed of yourselves for dropping him when he was just speaking the truth.
That was a great call.
These are my people.
You're never
tremendous.
Wrong. Come on, please.
Hey, I didn't say people are allowed to have opinions.
Not on my.
I'm not going to tell them.
Not
if
when
they're
I'm controlling
wrong.
The phones. They're not.
That was a great call, Paulie. Call back anytime, bud.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got a quick break here. When we come back, we will revisit another Bruins loss to the Florida Panthers last night at TD Garden. It's only 4 games into the season, but I'm panicking. Here we go.
WEEI.
I love EEI, man.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England's
sports original. AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
And now Boqvist trying to shovel it down the wall to Reinhardt. Shoots, he scores! So dangerous, and he snipes one from short range. A power play goal, 2-1 Panthers.
Such a talented player, Sam Reinhardt, able to get possession. Carlo was trying to make a play on the puck. Now the play's behind him, and he's trying to play catch-up from behind. The Bruins are unsure how to defend. Lindholm's going to line up with Bennett, take Bennett all the way, and that allows Reinhardt to gain center ice.
One of the lowlights from yesterday afternoon's game. I know I kept saying last night when we were talking about the Bruins earlier. It was yesterday afternoon during our show as the Bruins lose another one to the Florida Panthers, 4-3. They're 2-2 on the year. Both losses to Florida here early on in the season. And I'll tell you what. I wasn't expecting them to come out and beat the crap out of Florida or anything like that, but I did think that these off-season moves, I bought into this idea that these off-season moves that they made in order to toughen up and get bigger and stronger and not let Florida push you around were going to work. I thought that there was something to that, and I thought that was a good way to go about it, because what else are you doing here if you're not trying to beat the big bad bully in front of you who just won the Stanley Cup? That's what you do. That's what you go out and do. I thought it was a good strategy. I liked it. I thought Sweeney did a good job in the off-season with everything except Jeremy Swayman until the very end. But I thought the other moves he made, I liked them. I thought they were good, and I was happy to see that they were trying to tailor their roster to go out and handle these Florida Panthers, and the Panthers just handled them. Two straight games here within a week's time, one in Florida, one at TD Garden yesterday afternoon. And I'll tell you what, I know it's early, but I don't like that. I really don't. I'm panicking a little bit over the possibility of meeting Florida in the playoffs again. I am. I'm sorry. What do you want me to say? Wait. You only play them three times. They've lost both games, and if they meet them in the playoffs again, I'm not going to be feeling good about that.
Is that kind of like being kind of pregnant? Like panicking a little bit. You're either panicked or you're not. Because I have a question about your whole rant there.
Okay.
Is the point to beat the Panthers or win the Stanley Cup?
Well, you got to beat them to get to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but that doesn't give you a Stanley Cup.
No, it doesn't.
And last year they were in Game 7, correct? You were right on the cusp of beating them.
Last year?
Yeah.
The Panthers?
I mean, not last year. 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
like,
yes.
So you gave up on it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that they thought this past year, Florida and them were top and bottom there at in the Atlantic Division. They were 1-2 basically all season long, so they knew that they were going to probably have to go up against them again. Yes.
Right, but the point is to win a cup, and like you said it the other day, if they go past the Panthers, do they beat Edmonton?
I don't know about that.
Right. So like, are we going to become the Colts where we'll put the "we beat the Panthers" banner up, even though we don't get a banner for a Stanley Cup? Like, I just, this whole idea, and I've always wondered about this because this was a theory for years. Oh, Belichick used to look at the schedule and he would make certain signings or depth moves to beat this team or whatever. Like, isn't the goal to have the best team possible? Isn't the goal to be able to beat as many teams as possible, many styles of play as possible? I don't know what this team wants to be right now. I don't know whether they want to be just tough enough to beat the Panthers. Well, show them. Yeah. And then get swept by the Oilers. Like, is that?
Well, if you can't beat the Panthers, you don't play the Oilers, Andy. I mean, that's the point.
No, I
right?
know. Like, but the point, the point is not beating the Panthers. To me, the point would be to win the Stanley Cup, to put the best team possible, not just beat a matchup with them.
If you get to the Cup final, then you can win the Stanley Cup. Sure. I mean, listen.
Sure.
They got there against St. Louis, and they went 7 games with St. Louis. They could have won that series.
Yep.
But, you know, it's hard to do it, I think. And they went up against the hot Jordan Binnington. So, I mean, that's part of it, too. He might go against the hottest goalie in the league. And that happened to be Bobrovsky after that Boston series. He took over, and he was on fire for the rest of that, for the most part. And, again, I mean, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just Bobrovsky. Because I think Swayman outplayed Bobrovsky for the most part in that series
last year.
I know I am, but, I mean, statistically, he did. It was the fact that they could get in your head. They could get in your head. They could get under your skin. They can do all these things that you had no answer for. And if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to answer for it. And I thought that they put a roster together that could answer for that. And it looks like I'm wrong so far.
Yeah, so far. And the other thing is, when people get in your head, I always think that is like a tell on whether it's a confidence issue or a skill issue. Like, yeah. You don't really trust your own ability. Like, if they got in your head, if you think you're better than someone, I've always found it difficult for them to get in your head. Because you just think they're better. I mean, you just think you're better. So you really don't care what they say. Yeah, keep talking. Look at the scoreboard, right? I beat you. You can talk all you want. You can play the games you want. And I think that's kind of how the Panthers are right now. You can try to get in my head, and you can try to play some games.
Mm-hmm.
We're better. You know it. We know it. The world knows it. The cups say it. Our names are on it. The banners know it. Everybody knows it. So it's like this. It's this weird world that the catch-up of the Bruins right now. They're trying to catch up to the Panthers and maybe focus too much on catching up to the Panthers. And maybe that's taking them out of just being the best team developing that they can be. Because I said it earlier. What are the Bruins, in your vision, like if you have just the vision of the 2024-25 Bruins, what is their identity? What are they good at? What are they built on and around?
I would say they're built on and around their top line scoring.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're goaltending.
And defense.
And defense, I'd say, but so far I haven't been impressed by their defense.
I was waiting for you to say defense because I was going to say not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, really.
I think that's what they wanted their identity to be.
They built their defense up to be that kind of thing, and so far I would say it's not so far. And maybe they need to gel a little bit more. And again, we're four games into the season, but I'd say they're, and this has been the case for a while, but in terms of what their identity is, they're a top-heavy team with their forwards, good on defense, sometimes great goaltending. We'll see what that ends up being this year. I think Swayman has the potential to be great, and I think this defense has the potential to be very good too. But so far, neither one of those things have been the case, and they just sort of fall back on their old thing, which is, you know, can Pastrnak and Marchand and your top guys, I know they're not on the same line anymore, but can they go out there and handle the scoring for you? And maybe you get some other contributions from some other places. So far, it's been the fourth line. I mean, really, the fourth line's been right. carrying this team.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
Not to be disrespectful to those guys, but Lindholm's been okay. I would say Lindholm has gotten off to a decent start.
Elias Lindholm.
Yes.
Campus is not.
Yeah. I haven't noticed it. Do they do E and H? I don't know why I'm fascinated by this.
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm not sure either. Anyway, Elias Lindholm has been pretty good in his start because I think he's a guy that a lot of people thought they overpaid for, that they paid too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's going to be a focus on him as this season goes on in terms of what he's doing in terms of scoring and helping set things up on that first line. But I don't know who they are right now. I really don't know because I think it should be Swayman in the defense. If I were going to list this team based on what they've done in recent off seasons, based on where some of their salaries are spent, to me, this team should have a top goalie, top defense,
yep,
and good enough scoring, good enough first and second line scoring. Right? Like, that would kind of be my hierarchy. And the first two haven't lived up to it yet, right? And that's why you're probably 2-2 and scuffling. And if those three are good enough, I think you can beat the Panthers, theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically.
On ice.
On the ice, not so
we'll
much.
We'll see.
They walked into your house last night without Tkachuk and without Barkov, and they handled you again. So, yeah, I mean, off to a rough start here with this Florida team that you spent your entire offseason trying to beat. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the May train heading to London on Thursday, I believe, is when the team takes off. What are our expectations for that game? We'll get a early jump and look ahead here on 2-1-5 teams throwing down at Wembley Stadium this weekend. That's coming up next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday. WEEI. New England
Sports Original.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app